Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission is to equip you with answers to share the hope that you have within you, because life and truth matter. Why? Because being armed with truth will equip you to counter the corrosive worldviews at work in our world today, while experiencing the authentic Christian life will make you a winsome witness of the purpose of life, which is to experience union with God and Christ, both for today and for all eternity. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us online at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Let me give our contact information. We'll go right to our callers. On the web, it's equip.org. Via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And via the telephones, resource consultants are standing by. That number, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up today is Rick. He's listening in Alberta, Canada. Hi, Rick.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Yeah, I just want to throw something your way. I understand, of course, the centrality of the Bible is the Lord Jesus Christ. But I was wondering what your position is on what the Jewish homeland ought to be. Where should they be living after World War II?
Well, I'm very happy that they're living right where they are. I'm very happy that they have a homeland there, and I think that they have the right to exist there in peace. But I don't think that this has anything to do with end-time eschatology. So I'm very happy that they have their homeland there. But I also feel very strongly that God is not either a land broker or a racist. So I don't think that God places secular Jews over Christian Palestinians in terms of his economy. I think that God sees people as people, and he chooses to bless all people of the earth through the gospel that he has made available to them. And that gospel is available to Jew, and it's available to Gentile. One of the things that is very, very clear in Scripture is that Abraham only had one seed. That seed is Jesus Christ. If you are in Jesus Christ, then you are the heir to the promises, whether you are a Palestinian or a Jew, whether you're a male or a female, whether you're a slave or free, has nothing to do with your station in life, with your gender, has nothing to do with your ethnicity. It has to do with whether you are in Jesus Christ. Because if you are, then you are the seed of Abraham, and vicariously, therefore, you are an heir according to the promise. So it has nothing to do whatsoever with your ethnicity, and therefore I think that just as I'm very happy that the Jews have a homeland, I don't think that we should be against a two-state solution in the Middle East. You know, the issue for me is I'm not pro-Palestinian, I'm pro-peace, I'm not pro-Jew, I'm pro-justice. So what I'm looking for, and I think what all Christians are looking for, is justice, the right to proclaim the gospel. I don't know how much time you spend in Israel, but sometimes it's a very difficult proposition to communicate the gospel publicly there. And one of the reasons that Israel was driven from the land is precisely what the Old Testament says. If you do not follow me, and instead follow the detestable ways of the pagan nations that were in the land before you, then you will be driven out just as they were driven out. They were driven out because of unbelief. They're not restored in unbelief. The point ultimately is, though, that it's not about a little piece of land on the east coast of the Mediterranean Sea. That's emblematic. It's a type of something far greater, and that is paradise. So Palestine is a type of paradise. And the meek, of course, will inherit the earth, and that's what we're looking forward to. Not a little piece of land, but a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. In the meantime, make sure we are not anti-Semitic, either against Jews or Palestinians, also a Semitic people. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Danny in Ozark, Missouri. Hi, Danny.
Hello, Hank.
Nice talking to you, Danny.
I've talked to people, you know, about the Bible and people, and the question of the dinosaurs always pops up.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how to answer that.
Well, the Bible has no problem whatsoever with dinosaurs. There's nothing in the Bible that would preclude the notion of dinosaurs. And remember that God has revealed himself not only through special revelation, but also he has revealed to us his imprimatur in general revelation. In other words, his fingerprints are in the universe that he has created. So we are well served to look at general revelation and see God's handiwork there. And the handiwork we see in general revelation includes dinosaurs. I mean, there are dinosaur fossils that demonstrate that dinosaurs are real. Now, remember, the Bible doesn't ever give us a chronology of creation. It gives us a hierarchy of creation culminating in the crowning jewels of God's creation, humankind. So the first chapter of Genesis is not designed to give us a timeline as such, but rather, as I said, a hierarchy of creation. If you want to find the timeline, you find that elsewhere. You find that in general revelation. So we have no problem whatsoever supposing that the universe is an old universe. The Bible simply doesn't tell us whether or not it is in Scripture, but if you look at general revelation, I think it's quite clear that we live in an old universe. If you look at the night sky, for example, you can see a star in infancy, you can see a star in midlife, you can see a white dwarf star that's burned out its nuclear fusion. You know how long that takes, and you have a general idea of how old the universe is as a result of that. The bottom line is it's measured not in thousands of years, but rather it's measured in billions of years.
Okay. So would you tell somebody, when you're talking about it, would you say the dinosaurs were before Jesus or whatever? Or I don't know how to word this. If God created everything, but the dinosaurs were way before that, right?
Well, no. I mean, as I said, what the Bible gives us is a hierarchy of creation. So it begins with the separation of light from dark, and then how God separates the firmament above from the firmament below, and how God creates the dry land, and how God creates fish and fowl, and then how God creates man and the animals. I forgot the sun, moon, and stars on day four. And then ultimately, you have the culmination in the crowning jewels of God's creation, humankind. And then you get to Genesis chapter 2, and then you have the purposes for which God created. So not just the hierarchy, but the purposes. It's called chirology, not chronology. In other words, the purpose of God in creation is now being communicated. So the idea that the dinosaurs were created before man is clearly communicated, but that is to give us a hierarchy of creation. The actual timeline in which dinosaurs were created, you have to look at general revelation for. So there's nothing in general revelation that would preclude the notion that dinosaurs existed a long time ago. In fact, everything in general revelation points to that they pre-existed humankind.
Okay. All right. I got it now. I've been racking my brain about it, but yeah, no, I understand it now. Okay.
You know where I've written about this? In a book called The Creation Answer Book. I talk about dinosaurs there.
Okay. Well, I'll get that then, too. That'll help me.
Well, I appreciate your call. Bless you, Danny. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Stephen listening in Texas. Hi, Stephen.
How are you today?
Good, thank you.
My question comes from the book of Samuel. At the end of Samuel, where Saul consults the medium, and the medium brings up the spirit of Samuel for him to consult. Was that actually Samuel? Because I know the Bible talks about later on to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So how is, well, what is your take on that? How would you explain that? Was that actually Samuel?
Yeah, it actually was Samuel. I think the text is very explicit about that. And so Samuel was brought up not by the witch of Endor, but in spite of the witch of Endor. No one was more surprised than she. She exercised sleight of hand and sleight of mind. God did what only God can do. He did something that we would call a non-normative miracle. It was not the norm. It was something out of the ordinary. And God did this in specific judgment of the first king of Israel, Saul. So, yes, that was Samuel. The text is explicit about that. But Samuel was not conjured up by the witch of Endor in spite of her.
Okay, thank you very much, Hank.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So, please don't touch that dial.
If you were going into combat, what would be more important, the number of those who were for you or the number of those who were with you? Now, apply that question to today's battle for the hearts and minds of literally millions of people at home and abroad. That's what makes members of CRI's support team so vital. They're not simply for CRI's critical mission, they're standing with CRI each and every day. If you want your voice and your values to be heard 24/7 through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Just call 888-7000-CRI to stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his black leather-bound, silver-embossed, complete Bible answer book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. Hank will be back right after this. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world.
In Has God Spoken? Memorable proofs of the Bible's divine inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thanks very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Paul in Oxnard, California. Hi, Paul.
Hello, sir. Is there a good resource book on the heresies in the that have come to the church and how they've been refuted?
Well, yeah. I mean, one of the great books that has been written on heresies is a book by Harold O.J. Brown, and it is a book actually titled Heresies. It has to do with heresy in the history of the church. And what it is ultimately is a call to hold to essential Christian doctrine, because virtually every theological heresy begins with a misconception of the nature of God and then progresses on to compromising, confusing, or outright contradicting the essentials of the historic Christian faith.
Okay. So that's Harold O.J. Brown, Heresies.
Yeah, it's just called Heresies.
All right. I thank you for your time, sir.
You got it. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Mark. He's listening in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Hi, Mark.
Hi. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Okay. I guess my question is, can sons inherit their father's sins, like generational sins?
Well, there's no warrant whatsoever to believe that the sins of the fathers are passed on to the sons. What we can say biblically is that the consequences of those sins are passed on through the generations. But the actual sins of the fathers are attributed to the fathers, and the sins of the sons are attributed to the sons. This is something that God makes absolutely plain in places like Ezekiel chapter 18, where a whole chapter is devoted to the notion that each man is accountable for his own sin, and the sin of the father is not passed on to the son, or the son's sin somehow or other makes the father culpable. No, the son is culpable for his own sin just as the father is.
Thank you, Hank. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Nancy in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, Nancy.
Hello, Hank. How are you today?
Doing well. Thank you.
Good. I'm calling to ask, do you know anything about the church called the United Church of God? Didn't that used to be some other church, and aren't they way off base?
Yeah, that is an offshoot of the Worldwide Church of God. The Worldwide Church of God returned to orthodoxy under the leadership of Joseph de Koch, first his father and then Joseph de Koch Jr. But when they returned to orthodoxy and confessed that they had been involved in cultism, there were splinter groups that arose, and this is one of the splinter groups. But the Worldwide Church of God, under the leadership of Joseph Koch Jr., is completely committed to Orthodox Christianity, not to the teachings of Armstrong, who preceded his father and was the founder of the Worldwide Church of God.
All right. Well, I'm making reference to the Good News magazine, and there's an article that makes my understanding of what they're trying to say in one particular article is that Christianity is wrong for those Christians who think that you go to heaven when you leave the body, and your spirit doesn't go to heaven, but you go to some planet somewhere out there in outer space where Jesus actually is.
Well, first of all, Jesus is not on some other planet in outer space. Jesus is as near to us, as it were, as the flesh is on your bones. So Jesus has transcended time and space. He's not available to us physically, but he is available to us spiritually. In the consummation of all things, the veil between the habitation of God and the habitation of humanity will be removed, and then we will see Jesus again, which is precisely what Hebrews is talking about when it talks about Jesus appearing a second time. The veil is taken away, and we see that Jesus is now available to us because the habitation of God and the habitation of humanity now become one habitation. And that's precisely what John talks about in Revelation chapter 21 when he says, I see a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth have passed away. There's no longer any sea. And I see the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride, beautifully adorned for her husband. Hear a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Now, notice that I quoted the scripture. You won't find that in Armstrongism. What they do is they simply utilize their fertile imaginations. So their appearances of what the heavens will be like or what heaven is like now is a matter of subjective opinion. But we would say subjective opinions must always be tested in light of an objective frame of reference, which in a biblical worldview, of course, is the Word of God, which we can demonstrate to be an authority, a reliable authority that is divine as opposed to merely human in origin.
I see. Well, thank you. Darby, that was mentioned.
John Nelson Darby?
Yes, John Nelson Darby. Was he off the radar?
Well, he was a person who came up with a very novel idea in the 19th century, and that was that God has two distinct people with two distinct destinies and two distinct plans. And therefore, there had to be two distinct phases of the second coming. There had to be a secret coming followed by a second coming. And this was a new idea. And the fact that it was a new idea doesn't mean it's not true. It means that we ought to examine it carefully to see if it corresponds to what we find in the Word of God. Now, again, this is one of those issues that is a secondary issue. It doesn't mean it's an unimportant issue, but it's a secondary issue, and we always say at the Christian Research Institute, in essentials unity, non-essentials liberty, and all things charity. So the timing of the tribulation, the meaning of the millennium, these are things we can debate vigorously. We ultimately don't have to divide over. Now, I would vigorously debate that with a person like John Nelson Darby, although he is a 19th century character, but certainly with his followers, because I disagree with his point of view. I believe that God has always only had one chosen people. They're from every tongue and tribe and language and nation. So Ruth, the Moabite, is true Israel, just as Rahab, who was a Canaanite, is true Israel, just as you and I are true Israel, because we're found in Jesus Christ, who is the true Israel.
Yes, they helped to bring about the birth of Jesus Christ. I mean, they were his ancestors.
In the lineage of Jesus Christ, correctly said, yes. Yes, well put. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Hank. I love your program.
Thanks, Nancy. Appreciate your calling. Back to the phone lines. We'll go to Jeff. He's in Bellingham, Washington. Hey, Jeff.
Hi there, Hank. I appreciate taking my call.
My pleasure.
I've got an issue. My wife, it comes from a background of a very legalistic, kind of cultish type church, and she's left the religion completely. And I want to bring the gospel to my kids under eight, and her fear is that they're, you know, that it's just fear and guilt that I'm going to be pouring into my children. And I just want to try to figure out the best way to bring that about without, and relieve the tension, but bring it about in a way, because you know we're taught that our love is unconditional to our children, and God's love is unconditional to us. So, how do we justify that with, how can they lose the love of God if they don't follow Jesus Christ?
Well, yeah, it's because God gives us what we want, and I'm probably wearing this out, but it's one of my favorite illustrations given by C.S. Lewis, who said there are only two kinds of people in the world, those who say to God, thy will be done on bended knee, and receive the forgiveness that is only available through Jesus Christ, and those to whom God in the end says, thy will be done. If you don't want a relationship with me, I'm not going to force myself on you either in time or for eternity. So hell is God's ratification of human dignity and the freedom of human choice. God does not force himself on people. If people want a relationship with him, he offers them complete forgiveness of their sins and an opportunity to have fellowship with him in time and a relationship with him for all eternity. If people do not want that in time, God does not force that on them in eternity. So the gospel, whether you're preaching it to an 8-year-old or an 80-year-old, is always the same. We are sinners. And whether you're 8 or 80, we know that. We know in the quietness of our own room that we're not perfect. But the gospel is that though we are sinners, we can repent of our sin or turn from it with God's help and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And when we receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, then we have everlasting life. So three simple words. One is realize that you're a sinner, realize. The second is repent of your sins, repent. And the third is receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And when you do, he is yours and you are his for all eternity, which is to say, we receive Jesus Christ through faith. We're no longer depending on what we can do for everlasting life, but we are depending on what Jesus Christ has done for us. I have to leave it at that. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We look forward to seeing you right here with more of the show.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just go to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast live or download archived broadcast. To talk with a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.